Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The measurements that the people of this world use to determine the value of an individual are not the same as the measurements of God. The world measures greatness by intelligence, by education, by wealth, by power, by personal accomplishments, even by family background. But we find that in the Bible, men and women are not evaluated by God in any of those ways. They are not saved from the wrath of God by any of those things. They are simply evaluated and saved by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from. And a striking example of this fact can be found in the person of John the Baptizer. He had very little formal education. He had no wealth at all. He had no rank or position in society. And he certainly was not very impressive in his appearance. But in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus calls him the greatest man who ever lived. Why? Well, because the Lord revealed to John that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Lamb of God, that he was the Savior of the world, and John believed him. John believed his words. And so John had the privilege of announcing that good news to the people. Once the Lord reveals the truth to us, once he shines the light of his truth in our hearts, we're told in John chapter 8, that truth makes us free. We are free from the judgment of God. We are free from the dominion of Satan over our lives. We're freed from the lies. We're freed from the slavery of our sin. Believing that Jesus died to pay for our sins, and then seeking to live for him as his disciples, is the only path to greatness. Because then we become sons and daughters of God. We are his children. We're part of his family. And what could be greater than that? And to know that, to believe that, and to live in the light of that truth, well, that is true wisdom. So, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, and going all the way through the first five verses of chapter 2, Paul makes that same point as he writes to the people in the church in the city of Corinth. And so he says to them in verse 26, brothers and sisters in Christ, take a moment. Take a moment to consider your calling. Kleis in Greek. Your calling from God. How he called you to himself through Christ Jesus our Lord according to his sovereign grace. As you are well aware, dear brothers and sisters, you're aware of what you were like before you knew Christ. Don't you remember? You were hopelessly lost in the darkness of your sin. And there was nothing that you could do about it. And you know that there were not many, well, perhaps a few, but not many, who were wise among you, according to the flesh, according to human reasoning. You weren't considered to be brilliant and outstanding individuals, were you? there were not many among you who were mighty. Dunatos in Greek. You weren't men or women of dignity and of power. Hey, you weren't the influential citizens in the city of Corinth, were you? Not many of you were the noble ones in the city. You, Genes in Greek. You weren't of noble birth. You weren't aristocrats. You weren't chosen because of your wealth. You weren't chosen because of your bank account. You weren't chosen because of your background. And you should be glad of that. Because these things would have been stumbling blocks in your lives. They would have gotten in the way. They would have hindered you and would have been obstacles between you and the grace of God. In the mind of God, those who rely on their own strength, those who count on their own credentials, those who focus on their own accomplishments, thinking that that will get them into heaven. Those are the ones, Paul tells us, who really are the weak, because they do not see their need of a Savior. But those who are weak and who are willing to look outside of themselves, willing to look to Christ for their salvation, oh, they're really the strong ones. Why is that? Because they have strength in Christ. He lives within them. So Paul tells them in verse 27, remember that you had nothing to offer to God, but nothing except your weakness. So you fell on your knees before him, seeking his faith, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his mercy, which, in the estimation of the world, is foolishness. So how do you see? Is that how you see things? Is it wisdom or foolishness to come to Christ? Here's how God sees it, Paul says. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. He chose you, didn't he? He chose you to shame, it says, kataskuno in Greek, to bring to nothing those who believe that they are something, that they are the wise ones. And God has chosen the weak things of this world, athenes in Greek. He chose you, who were helpless, and who were without strength, so that the testimony of your lives might put to shame those who believe that they are the strong ones. They have no need. They don't believe they have a need of Christ. Your salvation is a testimony to the glory of God. And Paul says, verse 28, God has chosen the base things of this world. Agenes in Greek. He chose you who were lowly in birth, who were without any esteemed family background. And he's chosen the despised of this world. Exoutheneo in Greek. He chose you who were and still are treated with contempt by this world. You are treated as if you are not even worthy to be acknowledged as people. They think you have no value. God has chosen the things that are not. People who are considered undesirable, as if they don't even exist, as if they're not even worthy to exist. So that he might nullify katargeo, so that he might do away with the things that are desirable by the people of this world. But those things that men value don't have eternal value. We don't see things the way God sees things. Those things that men value do not result in salvation. So that no man can boast of his salvation. We didn't do it. God did it. Kau ha omai in Greek. Boasting. Taking pride in ourselves. Taking pride in what we have done in order to be acceptable to God. God doesn't see it that way. The truth is, Paul says, that by God's doing, by his own choice, you are in Christ Jesus. We are there because of him. He's the source of our salvation. He's the source of life, of our life. He's our Savior, the one who became to us the wisdom of God, Paul says, true wisdom, which he has given to us. Well, what kind of wisdom is that? We have wisdom because now we have the knowledge of the truth. That's wisdom. In addition to that, Paul says in verse 30, he has given us righteousness, dikaiosune in Greek. In Christ, we have been made right in his eyes. Through him, we have been given sanctification, hagiasmos in Greek. We have been set apart unto him. We have been made holy, not because of our holiness, but because of the holiness of Christ. And we have been given redemption, Paul says, apolutrosis in Greek. We have been released from the chains of our sin, and we have been set free forever. We have been given all the riches of heaven. They all belong to us, well, not because of us, but because of Christ Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Perhaps the same question Paul would have asked. What have we done? What can we boast about to justify ourselves? Do we deserve to be saved? Well, we've done nothing, haven't we? What have we done? Christ has done it all. Just as it is written, Paul says in verse 31, written in the Old Testament, written in Jeremiah 9:24, where he says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord, in what he has revealed to us, how he has revealed himself to us. So we can't boast in ourselves. We have nothing to boast about. We're reminded of that in Galatians 6:14, aren't we? Where it says that if we boast, we are to boast in the cross of Christ. If we glory, we're to glory in him. If we exalt, we are to exalt what he has done for us. And continuing that thought process in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul reminds the people in the church in Corinth about his own situation. He doesn't place himself above them. He says, when I came to you, when I first came to you, brothers and sisters, and I began to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, he said, I didn't come to you as an eloquent philosopher with superiority of speech. I didn't come and dazzle you with my great knowledge. I didn't come as an orator with clever arguments, articulating the wisdom of man. But he says, I came as a witness. I came to you proclaiming to you the testimony of God, bearing witness to the truth of salvation, which at one time was a mystery to all of us. He said, that is salvation that I have experienced in my own life. I can testify to the truth of what Christ has done in me. So he said, I determined this one thing in my heart. I made this my goal. I made it my priority to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ. Nothing of my own ideas. Nothing of my own opinions. I didn't add anything to the message. I didn't take anything away from the message. I didn't take anything away that would diminish the glory of Christ and who alone is the one who was crucified for our sin. And Paul says, as you well know, I was with you in weakness, asthenia, in grief, in suffering, in sickness, in weariness, having been ridiculed and beaten and imprisoned and threatened with death throughout the cities of Greece. He says, and I came to you in fear that the message of Christ would once again fall upon deaf ears as it did in the city of Athens. He says, I was with you in much trembling, tremas in Greek, shaking with anxiety, that I wouldn't be able to fulfill my assignment that was given to me by the Lord, that the message of salvation would not take root in you, and you would be lost forever. But God is faithful. So Paul says in verse 4, my message, logos, the word that I spoke, what I said, and my preaching, kerygma in Greek, the proclamation of the truth, how I said it, did not change. My appeal to you was not with persuasive words, not with words that were designed to manipulate you with false rhetoric to tickle your ears, words that were rooted in man's wisdom. He said, but when I spoke in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. I spoke by His leading and in the power of God, the power to change your heart, the power to change your lives, that your faith, pistis, your trust would not rest on me, that would not rest upon any man. Well, men can change our thinking, can't they? But men can't save our souls. But he said, I preached the word so that your faith would rest on the unchanging power, on the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.